when he was going to raise Lazarus. It was a difficult situation. Amen? But Jesus had prayed before. He said, Father, I thank you because you always hear me. Look, if you can get to that point in your prayer life, you will see results. When you know that God is your Father and that he hears you when you pray, yeah, you are already very close to the answer. Amen? I can't remember the last time I begged God. I said, God, please! You know, I went to church yesterday and last week and 2 weeks ago. You know, normally I don't go to church, but I went the last 3 weeks. Please! For the sake of God. It doesn't work like that. Amen? That's just human emotion. Hallelujah. And sometimes God will tolerate your emotion because he gave them to you, you know? God gave you your emotions. So emotions don't have to be a bad thing. It's because of the flesh that has fallen. Yeah? When Adam sinned, the flesh became weak. That's why emotions drift. It was not the original plan of God. Your emotions were supposed to be an overflow of what's happening in your spirit. Amen? Your emotions were supposed to add color to your black and white. Yeah, are you with me? But with the fallen flesh, emotions and feelings, they drift. Amen? But it's not your emotions that move God. It is the word of God. Some people say, oh, but God can do anything. So why didn't he answer my prayer? Amen? He said, John chapter 15 verse 8. He said, if you abide in me. Step one. And my words abide in you. Then you can ask what you will, and it will be done. Amen? It's a principle. The fact that you are born again does not mean you have nothing else to do. I told you, if that's the case, God should take you to heaven. Not today. That day you go born again, because you are useless to the kingdom. There's a reason why you are here. Hallelujah. And you know, God gave me a word this morning I'd like to share with you. He said, you can never, note that word, never. You can never get to where God is taking you if you are not willing to do what he's telling you to do. Now, Mark, I didn't say you may never. I said, are you with me? You can never. Because what you need to get to where God is taking you depends on what God is telling you to do. You know, the children of Israel, it was God that called them out of Egypt. It was God that delivered them from Pharaoh. It was God that parted the Red Sea for them. Are you with me? It was God that sent manna from heaven and they ate the bread of heaven. And he gave them water from the rock. And he sent them clothes again. Are you with me? But the Bible says that that generation, maybe like 2 million, they all died in the wilderness. And they never got to the promised land. It's the same God we're serving. Amen? It has not changed. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord. I change not. Hallelujah. Now understand, it is not your power that will make God's will happen in your life. No. It's just your willingness to follow. Everything that God wants to do in your life, you could never achieve it without his grace. Hello? The children of Israel, could they ever have been in the promised land without God's power? No. Could they ever have walked through the Red Sea without God's power? No. Are you with me? But you have part to play, which is to follow. So we're still going to Romans 8. That's a word for somebody. I just said I explained the meaning of the word. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? You know, sometimes you go to it and say, I'm trusting God. Anybody ever trusted God? Yeah? Hallelujah. My hand is up. In fact, right now, I'm trusting God for something. I don't know about you. I'm always trusting God for something. Amen. Because in my power, I'm limited. So if I'm going to experience supernatural results, I got to trust God. Are you with me? But I want you to understand that trusting God necessarily means that you hear what God is saying. Otherwise, you have no basis for trust. Now, if you are trusting God and you are ignoring everything that God has been telling you, you are not trusting God. Are you with me? Hello? If you are ignoring what everything that God has been telling you, you are not trusting God. You are just deceiving yourself. No. Let me say it better. You are massaging your emotions. You know what I mean? You know, emotions, they are babies. They like to be what? Let me find a better word. They like cuddled. You know what I mean? And you know, I have met Christians in my life that all they were seeking from God is to be cuddled. Don't want to grow. In fact, they enjoy the cuddling so much, they say, God, please make sure I never grow. So that this cuddling will not stop. You know, like Jeremiah now is enjoying his sleep. Now, what I don't understand about children is, my son comes to me, and he wants to lie on my chest. I said, what is going between my chest and the bed? I don't understand. I've never understood it. I still don't. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. He said, every time God's word comes to you, the purpose of that word is to transform you so that you can be everything that God has called you to be. God never lost a battle. So actually, in God's perfect will, you are supposed to be a winner. Because that's God's nature. Hallelujah. But that cannot happen if you don't want to walk the walk. You know, talk is what? Talk is Romans 8. We are looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and I want to believe God today that God will be taking you to a new level. You know what I thank God for is that no matter how long you've been a Christian, before God, you're still a child. Hallelujah. I wanted to digress, but I won't because of time. Hallelujah. Before God, you are still what? A child. No matter how much you know, before God, you still have lost to know. And it doesn't matter. You may have been a pastor for 20 years. When God wants to move you to the next level of your ministry, you just as if you knew nothing. That's why they call him the ancient of this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. And all the time. Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 1 and 2. My goal is to take you to verse 17 before 12:30 when we finish. Hallelujah. Romans 8, 1 and 2. So I would like to have a reader. Let's have it from the good old King James or New King James. New King James or King James. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Just read verse 1 first. Let's break that one down.
There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Stop! That is all some Christians want to ever hear in their life. I'm in Christ. And so, there's no... And that is true. But please, finish the scripture.
Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Now, let's do some logic then. I am in Christ Jesus. But every day, I am ignoring the Holy Spirit. And I'm walking according to my own mind and the things I want to do. The quiz is this. Will I experience condemnation or not? The word of God. I'm just using the word. That's the word. Amen? You can be born again and walk in the flesh. I hope you understand. Which means you can be born again, but go off your own way, do your own thing, all the desires and the impulses of your carnal nature, follow it, yeah, and you are born again. You know why? Because when you are born again, God does a spiritual work in your spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, what is he? A new creation. That's spirit. Amen. That's exactly how Jesus came into the world. I hope you know. Mary, you know the Virgin Mary? She contributed the body. Then God put in the spirit. The difference between Jesus and you is that his spirit did not come from his Father. It came from his heavenly Father. He had a new spirit. Now, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, Jesus had to tell him that, unless a man be what? Born again. That's unless you are recreated in your spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So when you got born again, nothing changed in your body, at least for that moment. Nothing changed in your mind. All the songs you listened to, still there. All the novels you read, still there. All the good and the bad, still there. But God does a supernatural work in your spirit. Amen? And you know what he does? When he did that, he brings his Holy Spirit. Because actually that work is done by the Holy Spirit. Because he who is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. But he who is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. So when you are born again, you are born of who? The Holy Spirit. How does it happen? When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit himself comes inside you. Say to yourself, now, if you are not born again, don't say that. I will tell you what else to say. You see, you cannot be born again by association. Are you with me? But if you are born again, say to yourself, say, the very Holy Spirit lives in me. Hallelujah. And you know where the Holy Spirit lives? It's in your spirit. Hallelujah. He born of the flesh is what? Flesh. But his word born of the spirit is what? God says, you're a spirit. Say to yourself, I'm a spirit. I didn't say it. The Bible said in John 3, he who is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Hallelujah. So you see, the Holy Spirit has come to live inside you. The life of God is in you. But you still have the flesh to deal with. And the flesh is a stubborn goat. Hello, are you listening? The flesh is stubborn. You know why it's a stubborn goat? Let's take some answers. Please give me one answer. Why is the flesh a stubborn goat?
Because he is being ruled by the devil.
Because he's being ruled by the devil? Yes. Yes. That's a good answer. Not perfect. Yes. I'm looking for the perfect answer. Why do we call the flesh a stubborn goat? Now look at your own personal experiences. Why is the flesh a stubborn goat? The answer to the question is in the adjectives. Stubborn and goat. Why is the flesh a stubborn goat?
Because goats are hard to tame, hard to...
It's hard to tame.
Hard to control.
It's what? Hard to tame, yes? Let's find another... That's a very good answer. Better, but not perfect. Why is the flesh a stubborn goat?
Because it's easily corrupted.
Because, yes, it's easily... flesh has weakness. Then the devil comes to take advantage of it. You see, the answer Star Gaming gave was very good. But I just want to know that there's a difference between the flesh and the devil. They are not the same. The devil is external. You don't carry the devil about with you all the time. If you are born again. Hello? Listen to that. It depends on what you believe. You know, some people they are so they read magazine, they read the news, they're dead on cancer. And they are so afraid. I went to cut my hair in town during the week. Well, I didn't want to go. I was going to the bank. Then the Holy Spirit told me. I know you may not believe it. Because normally I go to Reading to cut my hair. But the Holy Spirit told me, go to the ashram. I know it's that simple. And I was talking with this guy, and he was telling me about his experience, you know, that, you know, he was talking about the NHS, and that he had something, you know, something in his tummy, you know, that was really very unsettling. And he went to see a specialist in the NHS. And he was really afraid that maybe it's cancer. But he said, doctor, just be assured. He said, don't be worried. I know about this. It's called IBS. Anybody ever had IBS? Hallelujah. You don't need to live your life in bondage to fear. That's exactly what Christ came to set you free from. But let me tell you why you are living in bondage to fear. Because you don't want to die. Hallelujah. But Jesus himself came to set you free from the fear of death. That doesn't mean you should die. He set you from the fear of death so that you can live well. Because so long you have the fear of death, you will not live well. You will compromise everything God is telling you to do because you are trying to save yourself. Are you with me? Yeah? Fear of death includes fear of poverty. Death is just the chairman. You see, there's a club called death. And the chairman is the spirit of death. Another name for it is corruption. Yeah? Now, in that club, you have sickness and disease, poverty, oppression, depression, which other one? Yeah, and all the pressures. Hallelujah. You are married. And because you've heard, you know, you hear about everything going on, you're afraid that my marriage will break apart. You start living that fear. And you start trying to guard it by your power. Instead of yielding trustingly in God to help you, you start compromising. You know, we're saying this in Home Fellowship. There are some pastors that will tell some people that, you know, if your husband likes to watch pornography, watch it with him. That's from the pit of hell. Because you're trying to save your marriage. You know what? You won't save it. If that's your strategy. If that's your strategy, you won't save it. What the Bible say? Say, husband, love your wife. God has given you master key. You're looking for small key. He said, wife, submit. Yeah? Or adapt yourself. You know, adapt. Because there cannot be two captains in a boat. It will capsize. Are you with me? Adapt yourself. In reference to your husband. Master key. It's a diversion. So in that club of death, yeah, the assistant of death. So basically, you know that you have, what do they call them? Austin Powers. And what do they call that small guy? Yeah, what do you, is what? What do they call it? Is, yeah, meaning me, but what's the description? Is what? Is, no, I'm looking for the word. No, I'm not looking for the discount meaning me. I'm talking of the adjective that they used to. Is so something to do with Austin's power is what? Is what? Non nemesis. Another word. I read it this week. Is what? Sidekick. Is sidekick. Hello? Is sidekick. Sidekick. Not psychic. Sidekick. The sidekick. The sidekick of death is fear. When death wants to operate, he sends fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 2, Romans 8 2. Go to Romans 8 2. You see, when you are now dominated by fear, you will compromise. Yeah? If you are trusting God for a life partner, and time is ticking, and you are dominated by fear, you will what? Because it must be that God has gone on an holiday. You know? And God knew you would think that way because we are human. I do not blame you for thinking that way. We are all what? Human. If I have a direct debit coming in on Monday morning and I look at my account on Sunday evening and it's zero. Hello? It's human to be afraid. But you know what? God knew you would think that way. So God put it in his way. He said, I neither sleep nor what? So, are you really trusting God? Hallelujah. You know what you would do on Sunday evening? Because you know what? You can't make it happen by your power. Just voice this word back to you and say, Father, I thank you. Because you care about me. Even though I cannot say it. You neither sleep nor slumber. But let me show you something deeper than that. Because if you only say that, you will still be confused. Until you are set free from the fear, you can't enter the life. So Esther, you know Esther? She was in the Old Testament. But I told you, she has a good example of being set free from fear. He said, call all your people. I will fast. Tell them to fast. I will go before the king. She's not supposed to do that without being summoned. In fact, the law says, anyone that appears before the king without being summoned must be put to death. He said, I will go. Are you with me? But, he said, worst case, if I perish, so are you willing to die trusting in God? Are you willing to live all your life unmarried, trusting in God? Hello? Because until you are set free from that fear, you can't enter the true life. Because I tell you something, I've seen it. I see it in my spirit, it's very clear. There is nobody permanently committed to your best progress in this world other than God. And anytime you are trying to dribble God, you are only going to dribble yourself. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Romans 8:2. Let's read it now. So you can see that it's possible for a believer born again to walk in the flesh. And when you walk in the flesh, the devil has opportunity to bring condemnation into your life. However, it doesn't mean that the devil is in you. The devil is external. The devil is always external. For a child of God, a born again child of God, the devil is always what? It's not as if there's any non-born again child of God. Okay? All children of God are born again. Because except a man be born again, he cannot what? See. You know, he enter. He can't what? See. Everything you're saying to him is jargons. He just wants to get home and watch football. Are you with me? But, if you're a child of God, the devil cannot live inside you. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. But, the devil can operate in your life through is the flesh. So, you cannot see that the flesh is the devil's sidekick. Not always. For the carnal believer, the flesh is the devil's sidekick. But I want to show you something today that for the spiritual believer, even that same flesh can become the Holy Spirit's sidekick. I can show you that from Romans 8. And that's where you want to be. Where the flesh is cooperating with the Spirit. That's the life. Amen? Verse 2. Romans 8, look at verse 2 in your Bible.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ.
The law of the Spirit of life. Somebody say life.
Life.
I love that word life. Glory to God. Scientists have never decoded the algorithm of life. They cannot create life. Hallelujah. The law of the Spirit of life. But this life, we're not talking about human life. We're talking about the life that produced human life. We're talking about the multidimensional infinite life of God. Hallelujah. Amen? That law, what does it do for you?
In Christ Jesus has made.
Where is that life?
In Christ.
It's in Christ. It's not in Buddhism. It's not in yoga. It's not in meditation of Eastern origin. Hello? The life is where?
Christ.
It's not in your degree. It's not what? In your educational degree. It's the life is where?
In Christ Jesus.
If the life was in your educational degree, Jesus would have gone to a university. And he didn't. You know what? You know, if you look at it in human sense, it makes sense that the Pharisees would not believe in Jesus. You know why? When Jesus was going to call his disciples, who did he call? Who? Hello?
Anybody.
Fishermen! So why would they believe in him? Even they wanted to try, they were like, look at all those riffraffs. He's crying about calling them disciples. Hallelujah. Because this life of God, yeah, is infinite beyond any other thing that this life can offer you. It is the same life that created life that you see, but it's bigger. It's taller, it's deeper, it's higher.
Hallelujah.
I've explained before, eternal life is not just in time. Eternal life is in all dimensions. Life. Infinite. That covers any problem, any situation, any circumstance. It's the life of God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Now, when you're born again, he gives you this life as a gift. Can I show you that? Open your Bible to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. Let's look at verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Okay, let's have someone else who has not read. I'm coming back to Romans. But Romans 6, 23. Sister Pamela?
For the wages of sin is death.
For the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Death. When you are thinking death, remember what I told you death does. Death there is not physical death. It's part of it. Physical death is in the club of death. But the death there is more than spiritual death. Yeah? Whose sidekick is what? Fear. Yeah? The wages of sin or the consequences of sin is what?
Death.
That includes condemnation. Hello? That includes what?
Death.
Condemnation. But is that the end of the story?
No.
No. Please continue, finish it.
But
somebody say but.
But.
Is it thank God for but? There's some buds that are good. You say, oh, you know that lady, she's so nice. You know, well spoken. She organized 2 parties in 1 week. All by herself. You know. But
the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the gift I have received. I have the life of God in me. Don't look at my flesh. That looks weak sometimes. Life of God in my spirit. And if I allow that life to dominate me sufficiently, you will see it in my flesh. Hallelujah. You know why I know? Because Jesus did. Everything Jesus did it for you. Hallelujah. If Jesus subdued the flesh, you can subdue the flesh. If Jesus was not sick, I know he sounds so tall, but it belongs to anybody who is willing, because Bible says to him that believes, all things are possible. You see, don't ever go off and say, because I'm born again, then everything just happens automatically. No, 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 no. There's flesh versus spirit. Bible says, walk in the spirit. Then you will not fulfill the desires of flesh. The limitation is not in your spirit. It's in your flesh. Hallelujah. Whilst I allow the life of God in my spirit to begin to take its place, to begin to find its place in my mind, to begin to find its place in my lifestyle, my flesh cooperates. That's why the Bible says, I can do what? All things. How many? Oh, how? Through Christ who strengthens me. And do you know how Christ strengthens you? He lives in you. Do you know how Christ lives in you? Have you seen Jesus in your flesh? He lives in you by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the law of the Spirit of life. You know, I was explaining last week, I said, Jeremiah 31 verse 3. He said, this is the new covenant I will make in those days. I will write my law in their hearts. And we asked ourselves a question last week. We said, how does God write his law in your heart? Have you thought about it? He said, the new covenant, I will write my law in their heart. So now you are born again, yeah? You are in the new covenant. God has written his law in your heart. How? He said, no one will need to teach their neighbor, know the Lord, because everyone will know me. How? You know what God did? He put the lawgiver himself inside you. Hello? He put the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit in you is the law of the Spirit of life. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, with the comforter who will come in my name, he will teach you all things. Amen? So now we need to change gear and begin to explain, how do I live this Spirit-dominated life? Since that's the key. It's the law of the Spirit of life that sets me free from the law of sin and death. These two laws have nothing to do with the law of Moses. The law of sin and death has to do with the weakness of your flesh. That's where sin and death operate. Are you with me? The law of the Spirit has to do with the Holy Spirit in your spirit. Yeah? So how do I begin to experience victory? How do I experience the life of the Spirit in my flesh? That's my interest. I don't know about you. Maybe you want to express it in heaven. Maybe, for example, you want to enjoy all your health in heaven. Praise the Lord! Go and enjoy it there. But I want to enjoy it here now. You know why? Because I need that health to function. Now, let me just say this. You know, sometimes there are many reasons why people fall into ill health. And we can't just judge and say, you know, this is the reason, this reading, or say, oh, it's because this person didn't have faith. Or maybe because they did something very terribly wrong. There are many reasons. It could be any reason. Yeah? It could be any reason. But I tell you something. Sometimes, you will be exercising faith for your health, but it's not coming true. And you may wonder, but I believe. Have you ever been there? I know. If you were to ask me now, slice up my heart. Not the biological one. You know that one in there? It's a station, pump. It's not the heart the Bible is talking. The heart is your spirit. The center of your existence. Are you with me? So he said, if you check my heart, I know that I believe. So why? Yeah? Let me give you a key. When God gave you health, you never used it to serve God. What is the incentive for God to give you back to you? Just think like a human being, assume God is a human. We know God is not human. When God gave you money, you refused absolutely to use it to serve God. Now you're asking God for more money. You see that? Faithfulness is both ways. If you have two parties in a relationship, faithfulness demands faithfulness. Are you with me? Faith demands faithfulness. The only reason why you can have faith is because God is faithful to his word. The day God becomes unfaithful to his word, being faith, it won't work. Are you with me? The same way, your faith is maintained by your acts of faithfulness to God. Or it can be compromised by your acts of unfaithfulness. And that means that when my faith is not working, I need to check where I've been unfaithful and repent. Hello, are you listening to that? If my faith is not working, the first thing I want to check for myself, I don't know about you, because I'm not preaching to you actually. I'm teaching. I want to check, have I been unfaithful in any way? And then, if I have, the main thing God wants for me, first and foremost, is what? Repent. Somebody say repent. You know, I know when you are preaching the message of breakthrough, you may not expect that word. But it's the primary key to all breakthroughs. Hallelujah. Even to be born again, you have to repent and believe. Say, repent and believe. Say, just say, repent and believe. Hallelujah. You need to check your unfaithfulness because it can compromise your faith. And I always find out from as a pastor that not everybody, don't assume that everybody wants to experience the supernatural. I told you, some people like to be cuddled till the kingdom come. And as a pastor, sometimes after you pastor somebody for 2 years and you see that all they want is cuddle, if you are not careful, you will start giving them what? What we give them? Cuddle. Instead of fight, which is better? Cuddle or fighting? You give them cuddle because they are not yet ready. But thank God for His mercy and His grace. You see, nobody will stand without the mercy and the grace of God. Even me, I won't stand. Sometimes I have a flashback in something that happened in my past. I'm like, if this went just a bit further, I will be finished. Thank God for mercy. Say, thank God for mercy. Hallelujah. So God by His mercy has a way of quickening the dead. Hallelujah. And that's why we're all in church. He quickened us. We were dead before in our sins. And God in His mercy quickened us. Hallelujah. And He gave us the gift of eternal life. Which starts when? Now. Now. It's not just about time. It's all dimensions. It's the life of God. Amen. Amen. So now let's look at it. How do we allow the Holy Spirit to bring us into this life? Let's read verse 3. Romans 8. Where do I have my mic now? Who has my mic? Yes, okay. Romans 8. I just give someone else who has not read today. Then I'll ask some questions. And then within 10 minutes, we'll finish. Yes, you can do it. Romans chapter 8. Let me just confirm that it's verse 3. Romans chapter 8. Okay, don't, yes. Just wait. Verse 6. Romans 8, 6. Please read Romans 8, verse 6.
Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death.
For to be carnally minded is death. That includes his sidekick, fear. But
to be spiritually minded is life.
And peace. Is that not what we are all looking for? Life and what? Peace. Now let's read from New Living Translation. New Living Translation, anybody? Yes, Sister Frida? Romans 8, 6. Please follow it. I want to show you a key really about how the Holy Spirit operates in you to help you experience life and peace continuously. Yes?
So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death.
So when you allow your sinful nature, that stubborn good part of you, to control you. Yeah? You know, let me tell you, you normally don't just allow it. You add it all figured out. Yeah? Being motivated by the sidekick of death called fear. You with me? You figure it out. If I do this and this, no problem. Yeah? So while I'm waiting for God to answer me, let me just quickly put this in place. Are you with me? Amen? Hello?
But
listen, just wait. I know you're trying. I don't want that but now. Listen. Every time you choose to go your own way, you are at risk of entering into a mess. But every time you choose to trust God by listening to all He has been telling you, and following, you are at risk of entering life and what? Peace. The difference is that it may take some time. It may take what?
Some time.
Which the flesh does not like to wait for. Are you with me? If you learn to wait on the Lord, He will renew your strength. He will give you wings. I know you don't have wings. He will give you. And you will mount up with wings. As what? While all those who have followed the flesh have gone weary. They've entered the mess. They're out and another mess. And they're out another mess. You are still running. And you're not growing. When others who have gone their own way, when they've fallen by the wayside, you are still standing strong. Hallelujah. Walking in the Spirit helps you to overcome the limitations of the flesh. Let me give you an example. Jesus, there was a storm, and you had this. It was Jesus that told them, he said, let's go to the other side. And he said, you know, they took a boat and they went. And he said, Jesus, he said, we'll join them later. And then it was nighttime, and there was a storm, and they were afraid. And they must have been asked, wait, where is Jesus? Because it's good to have Jesus in your boat. You know what I mean? You can always ask Jesus, are you still there? Are you still there? Okay. But Jesus was not in the boat. There was another situation where Jesus was in the boat. So they went to wake him up. He said, you are sleeping. You know, God never slumbers, no. But Jesus slept. What does that tell you? He had a body like yours. Amen? But he had the spirit like God's. So he was truly Son of God and Son of Man. Amen? But Jesus was not in the boat. So they had every reason to panic. Yeah? And then, as they looked, it was Peter. You know, Peter has very good eyesight. You know, it's not that he had very good eyesight. He's very sanguine. You know, Peter is a good example of a sanguine. If you know the meaning of that. You know, very extroverted. Sparky. And like Sister Lisa, he's sparky. I like sparky. My wife is sparky. I'm not joking. So he saw Jesus. I said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. Now, in the flesh, Peter steps out on that water. You know, Peter is a fisherman. He knows the water better than Jesus in the physical sense. Not spiritual. Jesus created the water. He knows what will happen if he enters that water in a stormy situation. Are you with me? But he chose to walk in the Spirit, following what Jesus told him to do. Ignoring other presenting fears and facts. And he stepped on the water and he experienced supernatural result. It's not for everybody. Was Peter the only disciple in the boat? No. Are all the disciples going to heaven? Yes. That doesn't mean they're going to experience the supernatural. To him that believes, all things are possible. Now, if you refuse to believe, enjoy your natural solution. God still loves you. He never stopped loving you. You know the best God can do to you? He will send you preachers and teachers to teach you. So you know you can do it like this. So I don't believe. It's too difficult. Are you with me? But you never get to experience the life as much as God wants you to experience it. Amen? He said to be spiritually minded is what? Life. And what? Now, it's not the type of peace that the world can give you. Yeah? It's not the type of peace that the government can give you. It's not the type of peace that a boyfriend can give you. No. This is a peace that surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. And all the time. Okay, we need to round up. Give me 5 minutes. Let's round up. Which verse are we? 6. We finished 6. Okay. So, let me see what the Holy Spirit will. Jump to verse 14. Verse 14. And then we look at verse 16 and 17. We finish there. 14 first, then 16 and 17. So verse 14. Yes, let's read it. Romans 8, 14. Where's the mic now? Let's transfer it. Thank you, sister. Yes, brother, we go for it. Romans 8, 14. Now I want to show you the master key of experiencing eternal life in this world. if you really want to enter life before you die. You know what I mean? You know, it's like live before you die. That's what I'm saying. I didn't say die another day. You know what I mean? I mean like live before you. I didn't say live die. You know what I mean? I said live before you. And by the way, I'm not planning to die. Hello, look at me. I'm not planning to die. I'm planning to be raptured. I'm planning to what? To be raptured. That's what's motivating everything that I do. You know, some people, they want the rapture to come, and they just, if you can tell them, oh, rapture will come in 2 years' time, what will they do? Borrow big money and blow it and leave all the debt to the unbelievers. That is carnal mind. Hallelujah. Spiritual mind, when you look at the rapture, you're asking yourself, I got to do everything God called to do. So that when I leave, I have no cause for shame. Because we will all give account. Yes, Jesus, both the Savior and the Judge. Hallelujah. So I'm not planning to die, I'm planning to be raptured. I don't know about you. Amen. So I don't want to live under the fear of death. I want to live in the glory of the expectation of the rapture. And because I live in that glory, I'm motivated to live for Jesus now. See, that's my motivation. Hallelujah. That's my motivation. Hallelujah. My motivation is not just to get a big house. Hallelujah. My motivation is to use that house for His glory. Hallelujah. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What does he gain? Nothing. The world may honor you, doesn't mean that heaven honors you. The world may recognize you, doesn't mean that heaven recognizes you. The world may praise you and clap for you, but it doesn't mean that heaven is clapping for you. Yeah? The Bible says, it is he that doeth the will of my Father. Hallelujah. He said, this is how my Father is glorified, that you bear fruit. Amen? Now, when you do that, he promised. He said, I will add every other thing you need. Hallelujah. You know how it will come? It will come in your when you are busy doing God's will. Yeah? Someone is believing God for your wife, your husband. Do God's will. Just keep doing what? God's will. I have somebody seated here in this church who is a good example of that. She just kept busy serving the Lord in obscurity. You know, nobody is giving her an award. Say, oh wow, we saw what you did for the children. Well done. But when it was time, you know, you don't trust God. I know you say you trust God. You don't know that, you don't trust God enough that He knows your house address. You are thinking that he will miss the mail. Yeah? Hallelujah. When it was time, she was in her house address and gave her a husband. But since in this church today, when you get busy serving the Lord, through your serving the Lord, He will connect you to all that you need. Do you know every need you have, the solution is somewhere or with somebody. Either somewhere or with what? Somebody. Hallelujah. Okay. Time is gone. So let me see the last thing to share with you. Verse 16. Verse 14 says, that was the master key. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. It means that I cannot live as a son of God. I cannot experience the fullness of that life if I don't begin to listen for instruction and follow. It's more powerful than fasting. Hello? Home fellowship on Friday, the topic was obedience is better than what? I'm telling you, I can't teach you. I'm telling you, in the kingdom there are many keys. Fasting is a key. But I tell you, if I was to read them, obedience is a bigger. That's why Jesus said in Hebrews, he said when he came into the world, he declared, sacrifice and offering, thou did not desire. It's a body that you know, if you're going to obey God, you need your body. It's a body that you are prepared in burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin. I don't have pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of his book is written of me. I come to do your will, O Lord. It's a much more powerful key. Hallelujah. 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 For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons. And that means that my life begin to move in the right direction. I listen and yield to the Holy Spirit. Everything that God has been telling you to do, or everything that God has told you to do in the past, you better start listening. It's the key. It's the key. And I tell you something, you can be 20 years in church and not move forward spiritually. You can even look like prospering, but you miss God completely. Are you with me? When you start listening and yielding to God, He is committed to your progress more than you are. More than you are. He will lead you. He will lead you in victory. It may take time, but it will be worth it. Hallelujah. Verse 16. Read verse 16. Let me finish there. Verse 16. Where's the mic? Whoever has the mic, read verse 16.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit.
The Spirit Himself is bearing witness with your spirit. How? That what?
That we are the children of God.
17. Listen to this, please. Listen, don't miss this.
And if children.
If you are a child of God, say to yourself, I'm a child of God. What does that imply?
Then heirs.
Then I'm a heir.
Heirs of God.
I'm a heir of God. And I'm a joint heir with Christ. Christ is the head. I am the body. Anything Jesus wants to do in this world, He does through me. Have you realized that the head doesn't walk about? It means what? The body. That's why He went up to superintend the church. The body. And we are members in particular. Hallelujah. Please continue.
If so be.
Listen, I know many Christians don't read their Bible. Even Sunday school teachers. I know. They will just read something and go and teach the children. They will not go back and read the story. That's why they don't understand the Bible story. They don't read it. I know. Are you with me? But if you are reading your Bible, that's one step. Yeah? Now look at what the Bible is saying. Now those who read the Bible will stop at the fact that we are joints with Christ. Yeah? But that's not the end. What does it say there?
If so be that
we suffer with Him,
that we may be also glorified together.
Okay. Now anybody wants to enter glory. You want glory. You want to be glorified. You want glorious things in your life. Hello? Anybody? My hand is up. Sammy, are you before your mommy gets you? You know, like, yes, of course. Why? You know, somebody say, oh, no, I'm a Christian, I don't like money. It's a lie. It's your waking thought and your sleeping thought. Money. You know, I know. The day you are expecting your salary and it doesn't drop, you will know that money. You know? The type of emotions it will generate in you. Aha. Uh-huh. Are you with me? We want glory. And that's God's plan for your life. But I just want to explain to you that there is a process to glory. On your path to glory, there may be suffering. Are you listening? On your path to glory, there may be what? There may be suffering. But don't worry. Because He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, where is God? Where is God then? He's with you. He will walk the journey with you. He is your sat nav. He will tell you where to turn. He will tell you when to wait. He will tell you to turn around when possible. He will tell you to bear right, bear left. If you ignore Him, you will go your own way. You may waste 2 years. Come back. He's still there. Say, but I told you to turn left. Now, turn left. Let's pray. Let's rise up and begin to talk to God. I've not said everything I wanted to say, but you know, it doesn't matter what I plan to say. It matters more what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. The Holy Spirit, whom God has already put inside you, if you are born again, it's your sat nav to life and peace. You need to yield to what God is saying to you. You need to know how to follow simple instruction. Simple. Because that's the key. Master key. You know, if the Holy Spirit listens, you necessarily must talk to you. But it doesn't. Look, if you're expecting the Holy Spirit to talk to you like a big voice from heaven, you missed it. You missed it. He bears witness with your spirit. That's inner witness, conscience. And then he speaks to you through the still, small voice. He doesn't shout. You just say it gently. Hallelujah. Are you going to listen? Are you going to talk to God today and rededicate yourself? I want you to repent. I'm not afraid to say that word. Of every area, you've been stubborn. And I'm not trying to disrespect you or me. It just means you went your own way. Maybe it was because of how you felt. It was what somebody did to you. Or, you know, it could be many reasons. Or your past experiences. But you know what? The past is gone. Hallelujah. Bible says if we confess our sins, what does it do? It's faithful and just. I don't want to worry about what you've done wrong in the past. You know why? Because we can't go there and change it. I'm concerned about the present and the future. Amen? Don't keep living in the past. Don't keep repeating the same mistakes that you have been making, because it's possible to repeat them forever. Repent of them and start following simple instruction from your divine Satan who lives in you, which is the Holy Spirit. So the simple prayer I want you to pray today is, you know, make a commitment or return to God and say, Holy Spirit, thank you because you live in me. Thank you because you are the law of the spirit of life that sets me free from the law of sin and death. Thank you because I don't have to live my life in bondage to fear, in bondage to death, in fear of the unknown. Then I compromise. Thank you because you are able to guide me. You are able to lead me. You are able to quicken me. You are able to empower me. And I yield myself to your ministry. Holy Spirit, you live in me. Thank you. And I yield to you. Make that your confession. Holy Spirit, you live in me and I yield to you. Holy Spirit, you live